She's the talk of the town, with her pointed interviews and inescapable positive attitude, leading the charge across the world to positize our planet. It's Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, right here on Blog Talk Radio. It's all natural and totally authentic Patricia, the media maven of positive messaging, with an open mic waiting to hear from you. And now, with Patricia Raskin, Positive Living, your host, Patricia Raskin.
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to Patricia Raskin Positive Living. And I'm so excited to have such an incredible guest on today. My guest is Lisa Oz. For 25 years, Lisa Oz has been married to Dr. Mehmet Oz, Emmy Award-winning host of The Dr. Oz Show. But that's just a jumping point. Lisa's also a producer, entrepreneur, mother of four, and the co-author of 6 New York Times best-selling books, including The You, the Owner's Manual series. And as it turns out, she knows a few things about relationships. And she has a new book, and this is Us, Transforming Ourselves and the Relationships That Matter Most. Welcome, Lisa.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's wonderful. You know, I think I have to start off with this one question before we get into the book, and that is that you write about relationships. Now, you're married to a man who's become quite famous. Has that changed your relationship?
It's hard to answer that question because the answer is both yes and no. I think that everything that happens to all of us throughout our lives changes our relationships because we're different people this year than we were last year or 10 years ago. So ideally, your relationship would grow and evolve as you grew and evolved. You don't want anything to remain static. Because stasis is death, really. Anything living needs to continue growing. So, yes, our relationship has changed, but not. I think it would have changed anyway. Is what I'm trying to say, and that his celebrity has not changed it in the ways that one would assume. So, we were always hermits. As a couple, we never go out unless we have to, and because work dictated that he. Go out for dinners and things, we would do those. But any free time, we would always stay at home, and we still do that and spend time with our family, with our very close friends. So it's not
so
like
it really hasn't changed the relationship between the two of you.
No, the real reason he is in entertainment is because I wanted to spend more time with him, and that's sort of the irony is that we're not spending as much time as I had anticipated. When he was a surgeon, I couldn't spend time with him in the OR, yeah. But I had initially thought when we did the first television show, if I could suck him into entertainment, I could spend all day with him. So I produced a television show called Second Opinion where he was the host and I was the EP, and we did get to work together, and then we wrote the books, the U books together, and that was a great working relationship. So it has changed it in that we have been able to work together, and we work a lot on the segments for his show now and brainstorm things. And so it's changed in that respect because we do get to spend that sort of productive time together.
All right. But it sounds like it's been very positive. So let's talk about then when you look at yourself and developing an authentic self, because you write about that in your book. How do you identify and develop yourself? And it can be difficult if you're married to someone who may not be as famous but is very busy all the time, has very busy work. So how do you develop your authentic self no matter what your situation is?
Well, I think the first thing is self-observation is really to get to know who you are, and that takes time. And I think we all need, and certainly I have needed, to carve out even 10-15 minutes a day for quiet reflection, to look at the things that really matter to me, who I want to be, what I'm working on spiritually and personally. I think most of us don't, and certainly I include myself in that, don't take enough time to really evaluate who we are and what our goals are in life. And we rush through life and we numb ourselves with all these addictions. So, and when I talk about addictions, I'm not talking necessarily the hard addictions. I mean things like the internet or television or the telephone or coffee or food, anything that keeps us from feeling those uncomfortable feelings, which I think is that inner voice calling us to live a higher life. And so I do think when we put aside the addictions, even momentarily, no television, no TV, I mean, no internet, nothing to distract us, and focus on that, what that inner voice is telling us. I think that's how we get in touch with who we are and what we need to be doing in our lives.
You also talk about the difference between relationships and being in relationship. What do you mean?
Well, the way we typically define relationships is almost in terms of a possession. So I have a boyfriend, I have a mother, I have a teacher, I have a boss, you know, I have a child. It's something that you own. And I truly think that who we are in large part is defined by the relationships we're in and the qualities of the relationship, those relationships. So I think that relationships are really states of being. They are so connected to who we are ourselves that I don't think that they're something distinct and outside of us. I think they're a place that we live rather than an abstract entity.
Mm. Let's talk about your children. You have four children from ages 11 to 25. And in your book, In Us, you talk about conscious parenting. What do you mean by conscious parenting?
Well, it's funny because I've been guilty of this myself, so I'm not trying to judge anybody, but you find that with kids, you will lack the respect and the attention that you'll pay to a total stranger. So conscious parenting, I think, starts with being aware of yourself and being conscious of the way that you react or are not reactive, but act with your children. So for me, that's a couple of things. One is spending active time together. It's not talking to your kid while you're looking at your BlackBerry. It's actually making eye contact, spending time, not multitasking. I definitely think that walking your talk is the most important thing. With my kids, it doesn't matter what I tell them. They've all ended up exactly what I do, which is kind of crazy, but I think consistent across the board. I do think children model us, so it's very important if you want your kids to live with integrity and honesty and passion that you exhibit those qualities in yourself. I think it's a really good thing as a parent to have your own interests, because especially as a woman, to model for your daughters, to have something outside of your family and your husband and maybe even your job, something that is a passion for you that allows you to be creative and expressive and contribute in a way that's not only for the other people in your family, maybe for the world at large. I think that's a really important thing to show your kids. I also think helicopter parenting is a bad idea.
And so, what do you mean by that?
There are parents who I'm very close with, but they've made the choice to keep their children. What, I'm sorry?
Live through their children?
No. It's the not letting your kid make mistakes, not letting your kids face any consequences, thinking that you're protecting your child from any kind of disappointment or struggle. And I really think kids need to learn to deal with hardship and to learn to grow and to learn to take responsibilities on their own. So as a parent, you need to nurture them and protect them, but you also need to step back and let them spread their wings and take their own risks.
And make the mistake if they have to.
Yeah. Because, frankly, someday they're going to be adults and you're not going to be there to catch them. So you'd want them to learn lessons earlier on, how to cope and how to make the right decisions and how to pick themselves up again.
You know, the third element in your book is your relationship or anyone's relationship with God, the divine. And you have a real East meets West approach. So let's talk about relationships with God and how you draw from a number of spiritual and holistic thinkers.
Well, I think it's funny because it's not a traditional way of looking at God, but I really think our relationship with the divine, however you want to name the divine, is not dissimilar from a relationship with each other. And the things that go into making a positive, productive relationship with another human being are the same sorts of things that would improve a relationship with the divine. So time. First of all, if you have a friend and you never see them and you never talk to them and you never pay attention to them, that friendship is going to wane. So I think that to really cultivate a relationship with the divine, you need to put time in. You need to spend time in prayer or reading inspired texts or just or contemplation or meditation, make it a priority in your life, at least something that you spend time with. I think a sacred practice is very important. Again, it can be anything from chanting, singing, meditation, going to church, just something that is a regular part of your life. And I think that often our relationship with the divine is a sort of a one-way street. It's like, please give me this. If you do this, then I will say, you know, these little prayers. It's almost like a Santa Claus type relationship where we want things that God can do for or to us. And my goal has always been to reduce my prayer to the line "Thy will be done," and hopefully shift my will and expectation to acceptance and gratitude for what is. And that's just my personal choice, but I do find that makes me happier.
Right, I understand that. What do you say, Lisa, to people right now, parents who are having difficulties with their children, or folks who are struggling financially, you know, folks who have some real life challenges, whether it's a health challenge, it's a money challenge, it's a parenting challenge, it's a spiritual challenge. What do you say?
You know, this is such a hard topic for me because there are so many people who are really, really suffering. And I think there's a mystery in suffering, and it is never apparent in the moment. But I do think that it's Viktor Frankl, where he's in the concentration camp, and his life has completely deteriorated around him, and yet he chooses every day to live his life as a conscious person who decides to be truly human rather than reverting to the animal that the choices that he could have made would have been very base and low. So I do think that within suffering, we just have to live day by day and choose to be our highest self and hopefully come out of it with growth. And that's the only thing I can possibly hope for, is that there will be some insight and some growth through the suffering. And I, you know, Richard Rohr, who's this brilliant Franciscan priest who I follow and am friendly with and just love, talks about liminal space and deep suffering is the threshold between worlds, and it's really there that we strip away all our outside, external, superficial attachments and go to that true core of spirituality. And it's not easy. It is a death of sorts and a rebirth. So he talks about holding the mystery there and just living in the suffering. And it's not pleasant. It really
right.
isn't. And I have nothing but compassion for the people who are experiencing that.
Yeah, and basically what you're saying is you have to be able to go through it. And, of course, getting the support you need while you're going through it. You know, having people hold your hand and being there for you while you're going through it.
Oh, absolutely. Yes. Other people, relationships are what get us through every aspect of our life, but I certainly think in tough times we need other people to support us.
Let me ask you this. You know, I mean, a lot of listeners might think, oh, Lisa Oz, she's had the perfect life. You know, married to a wonderful person, well-known, 4 great children. And I'm not asking you to reveal a struggle, but think about a struggle you might have had in your life. How did you overcome it, Lisa? We all have struggles.
I don't know that I've ever overcome any of them. I struggle every day. My biggest struggles are with myself, you know, with my inability to make the choices that I want to make. You know, I think we all have that. There's two sides of ourselves, the higher self that knows what we should be doing and the lower self that wants to do something else. So those are the struggles that I think are the important ones. The ones that are external for me, things like money, those are ones that I've been able to get through, especially with support from the people around me. Mercifully, I'm so grateful that I have not had any big health issues with myself or my loved ones. But for me, the ongoing struggle is my own evolution, and I don't think I'm through that yet.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that every day you have your own internal struggles.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, you know, they manifest externally with issues with other people. You know, certainly professionally I've had a lot of false starts and ups and downs and personal issues or with family members or with friends. All of those struggles you have internally always end up in your external relationships. So those are things that pop up all the time. And I think it's just something that we continue to deal with. I don't think they ever go away.
One of the things you talk about in your book is reuniting the sacred and the sensual in the bedroom.
Yes.
where does that, however you want to describe that, Lisa?
Well, I think it's just an awareness that it's more than a physical act. And there are many religious traditions that see it as the ultimate act of creation on a human capacity, and it is the merging of opposites. So there is this polarity. There is the potential for a creation of human life. There is the Kabbalistic tradition in Judaism. It is, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the Shekhinah, which is the creative force of the divine, is the sexual urge. So I think that what, for me, it's always important in the back of my mind to understand that there is a spiritual connection, just not just a natural connection, that there is this transcendence of space and time, and that there is something much more than what we can perceive on the physical level.
Yeah. And if you keep that in mind, do you feel that it makes the act, the sexual act, much more meaningful?
Yes, ultimately, because I think what it does is intensifies the relationship as a whole, not just the sexual act itself, but the relationship between the two people in or outside of the bedroom. But, you know, sex is not always, it's not always the identical, same harps playing, fireworks going off, trumpets sounding kind of sex. There are different types of physical sex. So you don't have to see God every time you have sex. But I do think that by having an awareness that it is something bigger than just that physical act, that it brings a connection that permeates the entire relationship.
All right, very true. What would you like listeners to walk away with?
Goodness. Well, I would, life is short, and be kind. You know, that's, people say, what do you think would be the best advice for any relationship? And, you know, whether it's families or spouses or strangers. And I really do think it's just to be kind. And I think we so often feel like we can hurt other people and we're justified or we're angry and it's okay to express that anger or that resentment, and not be aware of the real damage we can do with our words or with our actions. So I would just say, be aware of what you're doing and be kind.
That's really lovely. You know, if we did that, the world would be a much better place, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, really would. All right, we have a couple minutes left before we close, Lisa. Let's talk about the whole writing of the book. Why did you decide to write the book, Us? What was the motivation? You'd already written a book with Dr. Oz on you and on health. Why did you decide to write this book on your own on relationships?
Well, health, I think, is very, very important. But for me, you know, we would be in a bookstore and Mehmet would be looking at the diet books and I would always be wandering back into the relationship books or the psychology books, reading Jung or reading something spiritual. So that was what I was always attracted to. That's my passion. So that was where I'd spent all my time reading and studying. What happened with this book was I had initially intended to write a book similar to the U books because I wanted it to be accessible and fun and easy to read. And I did want to go into the relationship space, but I thought I was going to be writing a very different book, one that was not quite so personal because this book is scarily personal. And I set out to write a much more academic, heavily information from other people, heavily researched book, and spent about 9 months trying to write that book. And I had 3 months left till I had to turn in my first draft, and had 10 pages of that book, and it just wasn't working at all. So I decided to sit down and just write whatever I was thinking, and it was almost like the book took over.
Interesting.
Yeah, it wrote itself at that point, and I just allowed myself to use my real voice, not trying to be my smart writer voice, and what wanted to be written was written. So it was a fascinating experience of surrender and sort of putting aside my ego and sharing things that I never thought I would want to share, but were necessary to illustrate a story. And it was the ideas in the book were so important for me to communicate that I sort of had to stop being so precious with my privacy, I guess.
Yeah, interesting. You know, when we think about all of this, when we think about life lessons, do you feel that there's a certain life lesson? I mean, you talked about kindness, but do you think there's a life lesson here that you've learned that you want to pass on to other people?
Goodness. Well, there are so many. I do think that the self-awareness is one, it starts with non-judgmental observation, which is just being able to see yourself outside of yourself and without the reaction, without the justification. Mm-hmm. So I do think self-awareness is really important, and then combined with that, self-honesty, because I really think that we lie to ourselves without even being aware of it, and that comes in with the justification aspect. So I think it's incumbent upon all of us to really know what is going on underneath all the layers of story that we tell ourselves, and to be clear on what that is.
Thank you so much for being on the program, Lisa.
Thank you for having me.
All right. I just want to tell folks hi today and just now. I've been talking with Lisa Oz. Lisa Oz is married to Dr. Mehmet Oz. She's raised 4 children, co-authored 5 New York Times best-selling books, including You, the Owner's Manual series. She's also co-hosted a daily radio show on Sirius. And right here on her new book is Us Transforming Ourselves in the Relationships That Matter Most. You know, I don't know if we have time left for you, but there's one quick question I want to sneak in, and that's about food and diet. Is there any one thing you'd like to tell our listeners?
Plant-based.
Eat
whole, eat as close to the ground as you can, and eat as little animal flesh as you need to.
Well, that's a great, thank you so much. And again, how can people find you, Lisa?
How can people find me? I have
a
website.
They can go onto your website.
Sure, it's lisaoz.com.
Okay. All right. Well, I hope I can have you on the program again.
I would love that.
Thank you so much. Stay on the line for a minute. All right, folks, this wraps up Patricia Raskin Positive Living right here on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, stay healthy, stay happy, get the support you need, and know you can make your dreams come true. Until next time, I'm Patricia Raskin. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Patricia Raskin Positive Living with your host, Patricia Raskin, leading the charge across the world to positize our planet. Make an appointment right now for a Lifestyle Destination Radio Network exclusively dedicated to positizing our world.